The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
And back to our lead story. Now, according to Adrian Wojnarowski, Ben Simmons has told the team that he will not report to the opening of training camp next week and intends to never play another game for the franchise. 76ers coach Doc Rivers just joined us. He had a whole lot to say. An excellent interview with Stephen A. Kendrick Perkins is with us now as well. Let's play a little bit from the Doc interview.
It was a good conversation. And he gave his reasons, which we obviously didn't agree with. But, you know, Stephen, I think in sports, and you've been around it a lot, there's been so many times that this has happened that hasn't been reported, and the guy comes back. So, listen, we're going to go through it. We're going to always do what's best for the team. But I can tell you up front, we would love to get Ben back. And if we can, we're going to try to do that. You know, Ben has a long contract. So, it's in our hands, and we want him back.
All right, NBA champion Kendrick Perkins with us now. Perk, I want to hear from you first. You heard the interview. He wants him back. He thinks they can win a title with Ben. This has happened many times before. What were your takeaways?
Well, you know what? Doc Rivers was not lying, right? And he has a history of showing, like, players that he want and want to mend a relationship and get things right. We know what he did with DeAndre Jordan when he was with the Clippers. I mean, they pulled up to his house and locked him in his house until he signed the dotted line to come back to the Los Angeles Clippers. Here it is, right? When I listen to Doc, I know it's coming from the right place. I watched Doc have to go through these battles when I was with the Boston Celtics, when it was a time when CP3 and Rondo discussion for a trade for Rondo was coming about, and Rondo played through it, and we got Rondo back in the right frame of mind. We went through it for about 2 weeks where he didn't speak to nobody in the locker room, and Doc changed all of that. And I get right now Ben Simmons is pissed off, but Ben Simmons also got to be held accountable. I mean, like, he didn't show up. He's asking Philly to cover up for him for not producing on the floor. And I get it, right? People want to talk about Joel and B and Doc shouldn't have said this. I didn't hear way worse. So at the end of the day, if I'm Ben Simmons, what I would do is, and I know this is a different generation, but you got to go in and say, you know what? I'm going to show you that I got some type of mental toughness about myself. I'm going to go in, I'm going to face this crowd in Philly. And I know it's tough. Look, Philly, New York, Boston, where I played at, it's a different type of energy, and I get that. Like I said before, time and time again, they booed Joel Embiid. He embraced those boos. He came back and he turned those boos into cheers. So if I'm Doc Rivers in the Philadelphia 76ers, if I can't get back an MVP caliber player or all NBA caliber player for Ben Simmons, I'm going to stand firm as well.
Well, first of all, let me say this, man. I really appreciate getting your point of view for anything that comes associated with Doc, because you played for the man, won a championship with the man, went to two NBA finals with this man. So, and I always remember the famous quote that he gave, that when your starting five is healthy, you, KG, Paul Pierce, Ray Allen, and Rondo, nobody beat y'all. He always used to say that about y'all when y'all were all obviously together for those years. Having said all of that, I will tell you this. You're absolutely right about Ben Simmons, but not just him alone. Let me be very, very clear. Ben Simmons looks very, very weak in this whole argument because you want to leave after you messed up. Now, that's how it looks. Now, I understand that there's more to it than that, which is why I brought up to Doc that Ben had problems with the Philadelphia 76ers and fairness to him before Doc Rivers ever arrived. He had problems with things schematically in the Brett Brown era, and he questioned whether or not he should coexist with Joel Embiid. Remember, the Sixers in 2018 went on a 17-game winning streak. The last seven games were without Joel Embiid, who was injured, and Ben Simmons still carried that load. Last year, without Joel Embiid. Ben Simmons rolls up into Utah and drops 42-12-9 when all of this noise was being made about Rudy Gobert being the defensive player of the year. We saw what Ben Simmons does in the defensive end. He was my vote for defensive player of the year, okay? And so we got to be fair to him in that regard and highlighting those things, but also use it as impetus to point out what the real problem lies. The real problem lies with mental weakness and a heart issue right now. I'm just going to call it like it is. You cannot play offensively the way he played, particularly from the free throw line, and then point the finger at the Philadelphia 76ers. I'm not going to say the fans, because he's never had anything bad to say about the Philadelphia. He loves the Philadelphia 76ers fans. I can tell you this, they don't love him right now. And the reason that they don't love him is because this is a team, this is a city that had Dr. J, that had Billy Cunningham, that had Andrew Toney and Maurice Cheeks and Moses Malone, and then ultimately Allen Iverson and Charles Barkley before that. And if nothing else, those brothers had heart. And so for you to be a guy that doesn't produce the mission in the eyes of Philadelphia fans, my boy Charlie Mack and everybody else in between, diehard Philadelphia fans, Kevin Hart included, those guys, the mission with them is, wait a minute, if you messed up, then come back and make amends for that. Don't want to skip town, don't want to run out. And so that's a problem. Ben Simmons looks weak. Here's where the 76ers could potentially look weak, Kendrick. If the 76ers are looking for the league and Adam Silver to step in, well, wait a minute. You have the power to fine him. Mm-hmm. You have the power to suspend him. You have the power to protest, giving him 50% of his salary basically before the season starts if he's already declared that even though he's completely 100% healthy, he refuses to show up. For you to look to the league for assistance to do something, you have every bit of power to do yourself. That is what will make the 76ers look weak. And I'm here to tell you something, Kendrick. Remember all of those trade scenarios? And put Kendrick, thank you, put him up on the big screen. Remember all of those trade scenarios that I talked about at the beginning of the show? CJ and all of this other stuff? Here's another thing that could have happened. Kyrie could have ended up in Philly. Sean Marks couldn't do that because KD wasn't having it. KD wasn't having it. KD, like, Kyrie Irving ain't going no damn place. Let me tell you something right now. Philadelphia might have said no. But I assure you, if it were not for Kevin Durant, the Brooklyn Nets would be interested in making that deal. Because let's call it what it is. Kendrick Perkins, I'll say it right here on national television. If Ben Simmons was in Brooklyn with KD and James Harden, it's a wrap. It's a wrap. They winning the chip. I still think they winning the chip anyway. But they damn sure win the chip. Even without Kyrie, if you got James Harden, KD, and Ben Simmons, because you got somebody that is an elite defender. But they're going to win with Kyrie, too, because we know Kyrie's all world. But Brooklyn would do that if KD would let him. KD ain't having that.
Well, see, here it is, Stephen A., and you made some hell of a points, but I want to go back to a point you made about Ben Simmons talking about it happened before Doc Rivers. It happened with Brett Brown. You know what else happened before Doc Rivers? Ben Simmons signed on the dotted line. He didn't have to sign that contract extension. Did he have to sign that? Nobody forced him to do that. So with that being said, you said that, hey, okay, I can coexist with Joel Embiid. I do want to be in Philly. At the end of the day, look, man, we know Philadelphia, they booed Kobe Bryant when he came back, God rest his soul. Hell, they booed Donovan McNabb when he messed up on the field and when he was playing out of his mind at certain points. They booed Santa Claus at one point. The 76ers fans don't give a damn. But if you're a real one and you got that real mentality and you got that heart that you're talking about, you go in there and you shut the critics up. Because if I'm another team, and I heard you say this yesterday, Stephen A., if I'm another team and I'm thinking about trading for Ben Simmons, yeah, I got this in the back of my mind. What if things go south? What is he going to do?
I got that. I totally agree with you. And I will remind everybody, he was told, you got 4 years left on your deal. This ain't James Harden or Anthony Davis who were in the final year of their deal. You got 4 years, $146.6 million. Mm-hmm. If you're going to take this position, you must be willing to sit out the entire season. And Ben Simmons said, I'm willing to sit out the entire season. That is what I was told.
Do he love the game of basketball?
I know.
Do he love the game of basketball?
Kendrick, You and I are both on the same page. It's ridiculous for him to take this position. It's ridiculous. We neither of us agree with him. I'm just reporting that's what he has said.
All right, before we go to break, what percent chance could you see him back in Philly?
I'm still going to say 50-50 because I got to believe when you're trying to live the high life and you got a $22 million mansion in Calabasas and all of this other stuff, I got to believe that the check not coming will affect you.
Okay.
Okay? And as a result, you're going to like that paper. So, again, you could come into camp and then all of a sudden got a knee injury, back injury, or whatever the case may be, and course, Ben Simmons is going to do what he got to do to get his money in the end. In the end. I don't know what he's doing before that.
But Molly.
But Molly,
that's one of the reasons, in my opinion, that he don't want to show his face in Philadelphia at the facility. Because he know when he gets there, Doc Rivers is going to get a hold to him, and then all of a sudden, he's going to have a change of heart. So what you going to do? You go run and you go hide until all this is over. If he step foot in the facility, guess what? They might be able to convince him to stay.
Might be able to lure him back. That's a very good point.
By the way, Molly and Kendrick, the players, from what I'm told, wanted to see Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons said, fine, you can fly out here to see me. I'm not coming to see you.
And maybe they will.
And maybe they will, maybe they won't.
Sometimes you got to do that.
But that's what I'm
talking. All right, we'll leave it there. We'll have more on this later.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes. So they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Let's get to another winner. Aaron Rodgers and the Packers got back on track this week. With the victory over the Lions on Monday Night Football, Rodgers played a nearly flawless game, throwing for 255 yards and four touchdowns on 22 of 27 passing. One thing Rodgers wasn't happy with was all the talk surrounding him after the Week 1 loss. Take a listen to him on the Pat McAfee Show.
It's absolute horse to give a platform to people who have no idea what they're talking about as far as my mental state. And, you know, my focus, my work habits, people that have not been around me, they're not in my life. I don't have communication with them or not in the locker room. I mean, that's just it's chicken. You know, it's so ridiculous that people get a platform to do this.
Big Swagoo is back. I don't know. I kind of like this Aaron, just like I like the new Tom Brady. This is kind of a new Aaron Rodgers to me. Stephen A., your thoughts on those comments?
Well, I like it, too, but that doesn't negate the fact that I think he's tripping a little bit.
Okay.
And before I go into all of that swagoo, let me say this, especially to a former athlete like yourself. You know, I joke around with the Cowboys because of their fans and all of that other stuff, but I'm very, very serious about my business and showing these marvelous athletes the respect that they deserve. Particularly when, of course, when it's earned. And Aaron Rodgers is a person that's earned that. And so I take his words very seriously and his attitude that he exuded very seriously because I want folks to understand that athletes are justified. I had the pleasure of talking this past offseason. I'm not going to mention his name. He's a basketball player. He's a future Hall of Famer. He's a superstar in the NBA right now. But I'm not going to divulge who I spoke to because I don't know if he would want me to do that. I will tell you this. He made a very, very valid point where he highlighted there is a difference between talking about something you have seen on the court or field of play and talking about somebody's character. And so
Absolutely.
As a result, when we're talking about things sometimes, we have to be mindful of how it's embraced by that athlete. Okay, in terms of, all right, are we talking about his play? And put Swagoo up on the screen, please, because I want to see him when I'm talking to him. You know, there's one thing when you're talking about what you did on the field or court of play. It's another thing to use that as an excuse to get into somebody's character. We all know how big of a fan I am of Aaron Rodgers. We all know that I lamented when people tried to bring his family business into the equation, when they talked about his brother saying something about him. Or it's none of our damn business. We don't know what the hell's going on, and we should mind our damn business. And it's lines that we have no business crossing ever, period. Having said that, that was not the case last week when Aaron Rodgers played bad against the New Orleans Saints. What we were saying was, damn, that ain't what we've seen over the last decade. You jumping up in the air, you're off balance, you're throwing it 3 feet behind a receiver, not one but two interceptions. We're talking about a guy that spent the vast majority of his career not even throwing double-digit interceptions in an entire season, and he threw two in a game. It's an aberration. And so pointing that out and feeding off of what we witnessed in the offseason, there's nothing wrong with folks saying, damn, you look bad. You didn't look focused. You didn't look like yourself. That is not attacking it. It's questioning what was going on with you that week because we've never seen it before. There is a difference, Aaron Rodgers. Respectfully, because I got nothing but love for you. Respectfully, there is a difference.
Stephen, that's the exact point, man. Like, you know, we say things and, you know, everybody know me. I say things and it's really what I see. I'm not insinuating anything. It's what I see. The reality of the first week of the football season is Aaron Rodgers played bad, and it was a correlation between what happened this offseason and his first game, and his demeanor on the sideline was not good. All right, I don't know how Aaron Rodgers operates in his everyday life. I don't know how he operates. I don't know where he is mentally. That, to your point, that's none of my business, and I really don't care about it, to be honest with you. I cover football. I cover athletes in football. You cover football and all other sports. And there is absolutely a way to do it. The bottom line is this. This is what I feel from Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers respectfully wants to control his own narrative, which every athlete should. We living in that era right now where athletes want to control their own narrative. They have a voice. They have platforms. People are listening and watching what they do. But when we analyze a football game from week one and we analyze that based on things that transpired in this offseason and you come out and put that performance up and then you act shocked that people are going to question whether you were there all the way or not, I don't even understand how you get to the conclusion that people are just saying stuff out of the blue about this particular situation. So when it comes to Aaron Rodgers, the football player, and what he does, we understand how great he is. But that doesn't put you above reproach. That doesn't put you above being critiqued or criticized based on the things that we've seen on the field and things that you've done and talked about.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Sunday Night Football, he gets a shot at redemption.
Well, listen,
against the Niners.
He showed what he can do, and he's
continuing. They got the best of him, a couple NFC championships.
He has nothing to prove to us other than going for another Super Bowl, but he is right for those out there who are questioning his character. Mm-hmm. He is right. I'm just saying a vast majority of people haven't done that to Aaron Rodgers and are not doing that to Aaron Rodgers. We're looking at him, and we're saying that was an aberration. We ain't never seen that before from him.
S.A., S.A., man, listen, we give opinions, bro. Yeah. We give opinions. And we have to, in our job, and this is something you taught me, we have to acknowledge when we're wrong, when we overstep, when we say something that's out of line or unnecessary. Absolutely. We have to acknowledge that. We're not above reproach or
not
critique or criticism at all. But when we watch a football game or we watch a basketball game, like I just saw you and my brother Big Perk talk about Ben Simmons and his situation, we're giving an opinion based on our experience and the things we know. We ain't just sitting up here trying to go hard on Aaron Rodgers or Ben Simmons.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I do want to highlight the point about the personal life, because that is always off limits, and that's never okay. That's not our job.
I would like to give people some advice. You do have to tell people to kiss your ass. You really do. It is necessary sometimes.
Instead of
always being nice about it. I have no problem doing that whatsoever.
In social media, I use the word cool.
No, I say what
you
I say.
You must be typing that a lot.
I say what I said on social media. I use the three words, not the one.
Okay.
And I don't mind it. It's very cathartic. Y'all should try it sometime. Seriously.
All right.
Seriously.
We'll just all marinate on that for a moment. Yeah. Thank you for that, Stephen A.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Yeah, she can. Our next guest, listen to this, on the cover of Sports Illustrated, at 13 years old, she won an ESPY Award for Best Breakthrough Athlete, became a sports broadcaster at 18, and now plays softball at our HBCU School of the Day, Hampton University. We welcome Monet Davis to First Take. Monet, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. Really impressive resume. You know, Stephen A. is all about resumes, and I think he...
She has it.
I think he approves of that. I feel like I need to use my time more wisely, step my game up. So you obviously took the world by storm 7 years ago, becoming the first girl to pitch a winning game at the Baseball World Series that landed you on Sports Illustrated. Looking back, what was that experience like for you?
That was kind of a dream come true for me and, you know, all my teammates. We were, you know, looking forward to it the entire summer. We just wanted to get there, and we thought it was going to be a long shot for us to get there. But once we, you know, saw what we were capable of and, you know, using our strengths for our advantage, it's worked in our favor, and it was just a dream come true. And now I have friends for a lifetime that I made at the Little League World Series.
What was life like for you in the immediate aftermath of all of that success and acclaim?
Life was kind of crazy. I think I missed like the very first day of eighth grade, but coming back, I just wanted to, you know, hang out with all my classmates and just get to school. But I had traveled a lot, which I wasn't really used to. I didn't travel that much before, but I got to travel a lot. I got to meet some of my favorite athletes. I got to do some pretty cool things, but the one thing I will say that I kind of miss was, you know, just being a teenager, just hanging out with my friends, just, you know, walking down the street, going to get pizza or whatever. So, I feel like there were a lot of pros and more than, you know, cons. So I think it was a bit of half and half looking back.
Monet, you're also a pioneer. I should have added this because over the summer, another girl followed in your footsteps, Ella Bruning. What was it like seeing her play at this year's Little League World Series as a catcher and getting hits?
It was cool. I got to, you know, watch some of her games in person, so that was really cool. And she's such a great young lady. She was super nice. She smiled all the time. She didn't talk too much, but I, you know, just let her know that she obviously was a better hitter than I was when I was there, because she got two hits and I only had one. So, you know, just giving her props, and she was phenomenal behind the plate as well. You know, she blocked. I think she had like the most blocks out of everyone in the tournament. So, you know, it just shows how hard she works, and I hope, you know, I wish her many success in the future.
Monet, I gotta ask you. I mean, I'm not gonna hold it against you that, you know, you're not a Winston-Salem State University Ram. I won't go there. I mean, we pick our own destination. But Hampton is a lovely, lovely institution. What made you decide to go there, and how do you like it there?
The decision, I feel like, was kind of easy for me. You know, I was looking more into the school as the school for education and not for, you know, sports. Although all the girls on the softball team are amazing, the coaches at the time were amazing, so, you know, I bonded well with the team. But I would say the Scripps Howard program, just the journalism school, was what really caught my eye, because that's what I want to do in the future. So I wanted to choose a school that, you know, would set me up for success and for my future. So choosing this school is pretty easy, especially with this program. So, you know, just having this program here, it's phenomenal, and it's made the choice so much easier for me.
Monet, when you say journalism, are you talking, I mean, news? Are we talking sport? I mean, exactly what kind of journalist are you looking to be?
I want to do sports for sure. You know, growing up, that's all I knew was sports. So being a broadcaster, just talking about sports is something that I really want to do, and it's something that I'm passionate about.
Okay, so I'm going to help get you some resume tape right now. I understand you are from Philadelphia and you're a big basketball fan. So Stephen A. just interviewed Doc Rivers. You are up on the Ben Simmons news. So if you were going to interview Ben Simmons right now or Doc Rivers, what would Monet Davis like to ask them?
That's tough.
Not for you. Not for
me. What would you say to Ben Simmons?
What would I say to Ben Simmons?
Yeah.
What would you like to ask?
I would just say, like, if you want to stay in Philly, like, what are you willing to do to make the change, to help this team out, you know, to take the program to the next level? I know we've seen, you know, the Sixers make it far in, you know, in the Eastern Conference, but they're missing that one piece. So, you know, what can Ben Simmons do to step up to, you know, ensure that the Sixers continue on, you know, pushing forward and not stopping at the same point, you know, losing in the, you know, conference final or even, you know, second round. So making sure that, you know, what can he do to, you know, push the Sixers forward?
Well, let me throw this out to you. How do you like this question? Because he swears he wants to leave. How about this one? What, if anything, can the Sixers do to make you change your mind and want to come back? How you like that one?
It's tough, but I feel like that. I think it is. I really do think it is. I'd feel like, you know, these few years that he was here, I feel like he really enjoyed it, and especially having been Joel Embiid with them, I feel like those two are a great duo. They're young. So, you know, just having him, you know, talk about what can the Sixers do to make that change to help him stay, I think that's just a phenomenal question. It'll get him thinking and, you know, maybe change his mind.
Yeah.
I'm with it. I love the confidence. Monet, you're doing big things, especially at Hampton, and can't wait to see what you do beyond. Keep working hard. Keep making everybody proud.
I'm looking forward to seeing you in this business. Just don't come take my job just yet.
She was already an ESPN Kids cast.
Don't do that.
So she's already been on the ESPN airwaves. All right, Monet, take care. Thank you so much.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2x miles in everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Breaking news into First Take this morning. Busy show today. Miami Dolphins are reporting that Tua has fractured his ribs. He is out on Sunday. Jacoby Brissett will get the nod. Marcus Spears back with us. Miami plays the Raiders in Vegas on Sunday. Marcus, your reaction to this?
This bothers me a lot, y'all. And it bothers me because Tua Tagovailoa is about to get the injury-prone tag associated to him. And it's unfortunate. He dealt with the injuries, obviously, in Alabama. We knew the injury that he was coming off of with his hip coming out of college, and now you have a rib fracture. And look, let me say this, because people get it misconstrued when they think you're talking bad. Tua takes hits. He holds the ball. Obviously, this particular situation, and you can call it an anomaly, right, with his ribs being fractured this go-around. But it's a part of his career now. It's something that people are going to have to start paying attention to. Stephen, I don't know if you remember, but we had this same discussion with OBJ. And I was like, at what point do teams start to say, this guy's injury prone? We may not have him. His availability may be in question. So with Tua in his young, early career, this scares me a lot about how people's perception of him will be.
Let me say this to you. And I like Tua Tagovailoa a lot. I don't give a damn about the point that you just made. He's not that priority in my mind right now. He's completed 54% of his passes this year, relatively average and pedestrian, one touchdown, one interception, nothing to brag home about. has been nothing to brag home about dating back to last year. Why is that relevant to me, Swagoo? Because I'm thinking about the brothers, Brian Flores and Chris Greer.
Chris Greer.
Who had the number 5 overall pick and passed up on Justin Herbert to take Tua Tagovailoa. Knowing that he got injured at Alabama, had that nasty injury, okay, came into the draft, all right, injured already, there were questions about him. And now we see Justin Herbert looking like an absolute stud. I mean, you got people that have brought up John Elway, they brought up Dan Marino, they brought up people like that. When you see this brother's arm, his ability to make those throws, except Brett Favre, they brought up guys like that when talking about Justin Herbert. And so to me, even though we wish nothing but the best for Tua, we hope that he's healthy, and we believe in his skill set because we saw what he did as a national champion at Alabama. We get all of that. The flip side is that you and I both know, Swagoo, that if this doesn't work out for him, they ain't going to say injury, injury, injury. They're going to say you had a chance to get Herbert, and you passed for Tua. And that is what concerns me. That's what I don't like about this.
But they say, let's not live in that world, bro. And I got to pull you out of that because Tua Tagovailoa's career in college told everybody he should be picked before Justin Herbert. All right. And look, I know we sitting here now and we got hindsight and I understand what you're saying. That pressure is absolutely applied because of the success that Justin Herbert is having right now. Right. But remember this, man, Justin Herbert was a guy that a lot of people thought would not turn into the guy that he is in the NFL. A lot of people that cover the draft, a lot of people that cover players talked about his athleticism and what he did from a look like a quarterback but standpoint. Swagoo,
I get what you're saying, but what I'm saying is this. I'm not going by you're talking about questions that Herbert had coming into the draft. I'm saying those same people. I'm talking about from the Mel Kuypers and Todd McShays to all the outstanding NFL analysts we have here who have watched them play and what have you. Even though you saw stuff on a collegiate level, guys like yourself and others who watch both, and you was working and you doing SEC football. Yeah. So you watch two and others. But in the same breath, y'all watch a cat on college. Then what y'all do is y'all project based on what you know the NFL game to be, who would be the guy. So all of a sudden, Tua was a bit miniature, a bit short, and as a result, and not only that, wasn't the most bulky dude in the world. How much of the NFL punishment could he take, et cetera, et cetera? And there was a huge debate as to whether Miami should take him or Herbert. It wasn't like it was a foregone conclusion that it was always going to be Tua.
Yes. But think about this. When you want to go back to the draft, think about Tua's career at Alabama.
Yeah.
And think about who people were comparing him to. Everyone thought that Tua would turn into Russell Wilson. That is what people thought.
Yes.
And that projection was right because of his accuracy, because of his production, and the things that he did in college. Justin Herbert, we all thought Justin Herbert was a good player, but Justin Herbert was in a system that didn't allow him to show what Tua showed. And that is the conundrum of the draft. Like right now, they got people saying Mac Jones would be the first pick overall if we did the draft all over again. Nothing about Mac Jones told you that his skill set would resonate in the NFL better than the guys that were drafted ahead of him. His situation in New England is better.
Yes.
His situation is better.
But we don't disagree. I'm totally with you. I'm just saying that it wasn't as clear cut in terms of, I mean, leading up to the draft, y'all had us, football aficionados, had the rest of us saying, well, damn, who they gonna take? Because it became that storyline, Herbert or Tua. That's all I'm saying. It became that.
Listen, for me, it was Tua. Because I saw this league and I understood what they were looking for.
It was me too.
I understood what they were looking for. But now, what we're talking about today, the injury tag being associated with you, with the things that you just pointed out about his production, obviously is going to call into question if he can be a guy or the guy going forward.
Got it.
Listen, five starting quarterbacks already that we're dealing with. It's week two. Carson Wentz is another one who's going to have to deal with the injury tag. But I want to get to Stephen A's quarterback. So the news of Big Ben's pec injury has many in Steeler Nation asking questions about the quarterback's future, but also the future of the team this season. Mason Rudolph, Dwayne Haskins are the team's backups if Roethlisberger can't play. Former MVP Cam Newton is still available after being released by the Patriots. Big Ben spoke today. Let's hear that fresh sound.
I don't know how it happened. I just know it happened early in the game, and I'm going to do everything I can. Today is only Wednesday, so we have a lot of time to get ready to go. I haven't thrown a ball since the game, so I know you have a lot of adrenaline going during the game.
Swaggo, what do you think? If you're running the Steelers, should they sign Cam?
Yeah, absolutely. Not only to bring in a presence, but to move. Like I talked about with Dwayne Haskins and Mason Rudolph. And Dwayne Haskins and Mason Rudolph shouldn't be the reason you don't go out and try to get Cam Newton. And Cam is not far removed from the NFL. He did go through an entire training camp. He's a big dude, physical stature. Obviously, you're concerned about him being hit in the pocket, but at least Cam can sidestep, move out of the way, and potentially do some things. And hell, if you're going to throw the ball in 2.0 seconds, Cam can do that just fine. Because he did it in Carolina in his last year and was effective. So I look at this particular situation with the Pittsburgh Steelers as a better option for Cam than it was in New England, based on what he's going to be asked to do with the weapons that's around him in Pittsburgh, based on what Stephen A. said earlier about those guys that he can throw the rock to.
I'm piggybacking off of your point. You and I are aligned in this thinking, because as much as I lamented the fact that if Ron Rivera and the Washington football team, once Ryan Fitzpatrick went down, if they didn't call Cam Newton, I was concerned about Cam Newton's career being over. But as you reflect on it, and I still feel that way because I believe teams are going to be hesitant to call him, but I think the Steelers should call him. Yes. I think the Steelers should try and get him. Listen, you're going to get rid of the ball in two and a half seconds. That's one thing. You got these weapons. That's another thing. He can run with the football. Now, granted, he's not as mobile as he used to be, but he's considerably more mobile than Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah.
And he's younger. And so the combination of those two with Mason Rudolph and Dwayne Haskins as your options – hell, why hasn't Cam been caught already? That's how I'm looking at it.
Let me go a step further to your point. The Pittsburgh Steelers should have Cam Newton in their facility right now.
I agree.
He should be in there right now.
I agree.
Getting a physical and them taking a look at him to be their starting quarterback. Not to come in until Mason Rudolph is ready, to be their starting quarterback. That's where Cam Newton should be. So to answer
that. There's nobody that should be playing before Cam Newton but Ben Roethlisberger.
No one.
Mason Rudolph and Dwayne Haskins shouldn't even be thinking about playing before Cam Newton. No way.
It's a lot of things we're going to argue about football this year, but this ain't one. Cam Newton needs to be on a jet.
I got some other big news, guys. It's Bucks-Rams this weekend. Remember, we were talking about you potentially going to the game. Antonio Brown on the COVID list.
Oh, damn.
That is huge.
Take the vaccine.
Jalen Ramsey out there.
Well, I don't know. I don't know whether he's taking the vaccine or not.
Oh, yeah, that's true. We don't know.
Arians did say, I think Arians said they were 100% vaccinated.
Yeah, he did say
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think
he did say that. He did. I forgot about that. I forgot. You're right.
Doc Rivers wants Ben Simmons back, in case you missed it. Check out the interview.
Shout out to my niece at Hampton, Jordan.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.